Want to just say a Lacine Christian Church welcome and shout out to Sheriff-elect Paul Fila. He's with us this morning. Paul, give us a hello. And he has already stepped down from being the chief of police here in Lacine. And I don't know if I want to say this or not, Paul, but I met the new chief of police. It wasn't a nice meeting. If he would have wanted to meet me, I would have gladly taken him to lunch at a nice place. But we thank God for those who are here to keep law and order. And I was going through the school zone up here, and I guess I was not paying attention. But I kind of am now. And I'm hoping like crazy my name isn't in the paper. It happens, I guess, to all of us, but so when he walks up to my car, I say, so you're the new chief of police. Yeah, and he introduced his name, and I said, I've been wanting to meet you, but not like this. Oh, well. And Paul's wife, Lynn, is here. Lynn, we want to honor you too. So glad you guys are here. Blessings. We want to dismiss our kids now to go to Children's Church, 3 years old through second grade. We have those who are ready to care for you and teach and share with you. So have a wonderful morning upstairs in Children's Church. Praise God. This morning, I just kind of, I guess, being a little transparent, have you ever, well, you may not have that much, but ever great once in a while, I pray and pray and pray and pray and pray about what God wants to do on a Sunday. And I got to elders meeting yesterday and I told the guys, I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do. It just hasn't gotten clear. And they prayed for me, thankfully. And this morning, I came in. I usually come in early on Sundays, fairly early. And I was asking the Lord, you know, come on, Lord. Come on, Lord. And it wasn't any too early that he shared with me what I was supposed to do, and that delayed my coming out to being a part of the worship service. I apologize for that. I really do like to be a part of worship, and I know in some circles there are some larger churches where pastors don't come out until the worship is over. I don't know if you've ever seen one of those, but I think that's a terrible example. I just think we need to be a part of the worship, and I want to be, but I'm just acknowledging this morning out of routine sequence, and I will be back next Sunday during worship. But I do feel the Lord has moved me to share a passage of Scripture that is somewhat familiar, but yet very pertinent for this time of our lives and this season of the year. We are going to go to the book of Philippians, chapter 4. And I wanted to share just several thoughts from this familiar passage of Scripture in Philippians, chapter 4. I want to start reading in verse 4. So before I read, would you join me in prayer and ask God's help to share His heart with us? Father, we just pause before we step into sharing and exploring your word together. We pray for your help, the Holy Spirit, to just minister through me to each heart. Lord, I know you're faithful, and sometimes, you know, your faithfulness is just in time, and sometimes it's way ahead of time, but we thank you that you're faithful, and we just pray right now you'll touch our hearts, let our hearts experience you in your heart. Help us not just to hear words or, you know, high phrases, but Lord, our hearts would touch your heart. Thank you today for your help. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, in Philippians 4, verse 4, let's begin reading. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Let your forbearing spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplications, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Well, once I really felt this was what the Lord wanted me to share today, I really had some fun with this word rejoice. The Greek word for rejoice is Cairo. Sounds like Cairo, Egypt, the capital of Egypt. I wish they would rejoice in Egypt. Man, this Muslim Brotherhood that's kind of become the ruling party there has just brought a lot of instability in that part of the world. And they need a little Cairo. They need a little rejoicing in the Lord. But Paul here is talking to these in Philippi, and he says it twice. It's like a double whammy, Pete and repeat. He says, rejoice, and again I say, rejoice. Rejoice always. Would you all say always? Now, I've thought about some of these things as I was meditating on this morning, and I think sometimes we hear with a spiritualistic mindset that isn't practical. And sometimes these scriptures can become platitudes that are high-minded and they're just nice, but, you know, really, really, God doesn't mean that because we can't do that. But I want to just say simply, I really believe Paul, the writer, the Apostle Paul, anointed, inspired by the Holy Spirit, wrote these things to a church, to us now, all who are Christians, because God wanted it in the Holy Scriptures. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. Now, we always have an option, don't we? Do it God's way or our way? The world's way or the Bible's way? The Spirit's way or the flesh's way? And, you know, we can choose to complain, grumble, we can choose to worry and fret, or we can choose to rejoice. And, you know, I just think this is a mark of our determination to grow spiritually. It isn't like we're trying to promote ourselves over one another, to compare ourselves among ourselves, to somehow have some badge of honor over someone else. But the goal here that we need to come alongside one another, come alongside one another. We're all moving towards this same goal. We want to be like Jesus. And Paul is urging them, he's urging us to rejoice in the Lord always. And so we need to think about our lives, our decisions, our attitudes, that, you know, life is tough. There's difficulties that come and there's blessings that come. But Paul says here, rejoice in the Lord always. And as I have written here, this word rejoice, Cairo, is a primary verb to be cheerful, to be calmly happy, to be glad, to joyfully rejoice. I like that last part, to joyfully rejoice. You know, I suppose you could decide to rejoice, praise God, hallelujah. You know, it's like you're dragging your tail all the way. But to joyfully rejoice, which means there has to be some foundations for you to build your life and your thoughts and your attitudes on that enable you to do that, to joyfully rejoice. And so I just want to encourage us today. I mean, you know, depending on how you think the elections went, depending on how you think the economy's doing, depending on how you think America's going, I just tell you, we've got to make a choice to set our minds on God, to set our minds on Him, to look for kingdom opportunities. Would you say that out loud with me? Here's what I want you to say. Look for kingdom opportunities. Would you say that with me?
Look for kingdom opportunities.
Because if we get focused on the natural, if we get focused on what's not looking right or developing right or things are just going to the dogs, we can miss the entire opportunity for the kingdom of God to advance. You know, some would say these are the greatest days for the kingdom of God. And if we're so focused on the physical and the natural, we'll miss them. I really believe helping us to have an eye towards the eternal, having an eye towards the kingdom of God is this command to rejoice, to be calmly happy. And so, you know, the thing here isn't to try to have some high-octane joy, high-octane, you know, I just got to be joyful, I just got to rejoice. All no, it's a joyful, but it's a calm joy that comes from your heart. Can you say amen? Now, let me just ask you to be as honest and transparent as I've kind of tried to be today. How many of you this speaks to you? Come on. How many of you this speaks to you? Yeah. Or are you going to have kind of a religious, spiritualistic mindset? Yeah, sure, great. Hallelujah. But you're going to continue to gripe, complain, be fearful, worry, anxiety. Or you're really going to say, Lord, I hear this in your word. I hear you challenging us. I hear your heart looking to us to have a faith in you, to having an attitude and a heart to you that we can trust you and we can rejoice in the Lord always. Well, what can you rejoice about? You've got to look for those things to rejoice about. Can you say amen? You've got to look for those and make choices. I think one of the best places to look is what God has done for us in Christ Jesus. And we're going to get to that in a little bit where he talks about Thanksgiving. But I'll tell you, you can either look at the natural or you can look at the real realities that has happened, God has made happen through Jesus Christ, given them to us, grace upon grace, come on, sufficiency of God, everything God has now been available to us now through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. All of God is available for all of us. Can you say amen to that? And so we're choosing, and I don't know that I wanted to go here, but I'll kind of deviate a little bit. I think we as Christians in the days ahead, and it may not be tomorrow, but I think in some years, I think we're going to have to choose if what we say we believe is a conviction, or if it's just convenient because that's what they're saying, you know, the teachers, the preachers. I just tell you, I think that there's kind of a growing hostility towards Christians, towards the faith that Christians have. We can embrace all kinds of lifestyles. We can embrace, even in our nation, all kinds of cults or false religions that aren't built or based on the Word of God. But we start talking about Jesus and Christianity and the Bible, it's like we are thrown out, we are put down, we are made to look like fools. And I just know that if we look at history, Christians at times have really had to decide if they really want to follow Jesus, if they really believe these things and their convictions, or if they're just nice platitudes and they're part of the story and we just kind of, those are nice. I just tell you, I think we need to start thinking about what we really believe. And I'm not trying to be too somber, but I am. Because I'm concerned if things went south and we started to have to stand up for our faith or experience some persecution, and I stand with you in this, how many of us are going to know what we believe and are going to stand for what we believe? Or are we going to become wishy-washy, you know, chameleons? You know what a chameleon is? A chameleon is a little reptile, I guess it's a reptile, a frog, that blends into whatever he's sitting on, has that unique ability. And if Christians are these chameleons who blend in with whatever group they're with, you know, your faith is, I'm going to just be kind of candid, your faith isn't really worth a lot because you don't stand for what you believe. You just kind of float in and float out and you want to be nice and liked, but you won't stand for the truth for what God, and I don't mean being rabid, harsh, unkind, almost judgmental, hate-filled. I'm just talking about living the Christian life. Can you say amen? Particularly adults. Teenagers, yes. But I just really have this in my heart, and I don't want to sound too foreboding, but I think you ought to start giving some thought to this. Do you love Jesus, or do you just go to church? Do you love Jesus, or do you just go with your friends? Do you love Jesus, Or, in other words, what's real? What's conviction? What's really real with you and God? Or is it just a social event? And I really believe part of a stepping stone to helping us is to start looking for those things in the Lord. He says, rejoice in the Lord, not just be happy. What's that crazy song? Something that be happy?
Don't worry,
be happy. Don't worry. Well, we're talking not about that. We're talking about rejoicing in the Lord. Come on. Connecting all of what I'm saying in the Lord. And so we've got to know Him, love Him, value what He's done, value what He's given us, value His presence in our lives, and grow and live a kind of life that may just have calm happiness, joyfully rejoicing. I just know this challenges all of us, doesn't it? And if this is just another religious platitude, it won't do anything. It's just taking up time, and I'm sorry. No, but this is really the word of the Lord. And He repeats Himself again. I say, be cheerful, calmly happy, joyfully rejoice. And then He finishes this little statement here. Verse 5, let's go to verse 5. He says, the New American Standard says, let your forbearing spirit be known to all men. Forbear could mean patience. When I'm forbearing, I'm patient, I'm kind, I'm not reacting, I'm not angry, I'm not pressing my will against others. It's just I'm forbearing, I'm putting up with, if you want to say that in a godly way. One translation called it moderation. You're not extreme either way. Just let your heart be settled. Be at ease, be consistent, be steady. Be steady. Be steady. Now, I think you've heard this. If not, I'll tell it again. When I was in college, I went to college with this determination. I don't know why it became my faith. I really wanted to follow the Lord. I didn't want to fall away. And yet, when I went to college, I found myself having these ups and downs, highs and lows, sad and glad. And it really troubled me, and I really made a decision. I was going to move my heart towards the Word of God. Every time I started feeling sad and maybe depressed, I would just go to the Bible and read. And sometimes it wasn't about any particular subject, particularly Psalms and Proverbs I read a lot. And over that year, I began to find my life began to level out. And you know what? God wants us to be moderate, temperate. He wants us to be steady and balanced. Can you say amen? And so amen. But the one says, some translations say, let your gentleness, your gentle spirit be known to all men. So He's just talked about rejoicing in the Lord, joyfully rejoice. Make a decision. He's repeated Himself, double take, repeat and repeat. Then He says, let your gentle spirit, your moderation, let your patient spirit be known to all men. You love Jesus. You follow Jesus. You may be passionate for Him, but you're not reacting to life and all the junk that's going on. There's temperate. There's balance. You're just staying consistent. And I think that's something to be said about our walk with the Lord, that it is consistent. Did I come to the right church today? let's don't try to flash the world how great Chris Christ is, and then in 3 weeks, you're wallowing in a cesspool of pity and depression, or you've hit the bottle, or whatever you might do. It's like, let's get stable. Let's get a testimony that's consistent. Let's try to get these big surges adjusted in our lives. And part of it is by setting our minds on spiritual things and choosing to be joyful in the Lord. And to do that, we have to, on purpose, think about things that build our spirit, build our heart, to really honestly rejoice about. So let your forbearing spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Go to that next slide. Now, a lot of times when you hear this phrase, the Lord is near, It could be said the Lord is at hand, the Lord is near at hand. Is he speaking of Christ's return? Some commentaries kind of alluded to that, but I want to suggest something different than the Lord's return is imminent, and that's really what he's saying. I think in the flow of this, I'd like to suggest that it's a reference that you are not alone and that God is near us. All of God is at our disposal. He is with us. He is in us. So then he goes into the next verse saying, don't worry about anything. We don't have to worry. We can rejoice. We don't have to worry. We can be temperate and moderate. We can have a gentle spirit. We can have consistency in our lives. Don't worry. Go back to the other one. The Lord is near. And I want to just ask you, is the Lord near you? Where is he? Is he up in heaven? Where is he? Oh, he's somewhere, the big guy in the sky. Where is he? I'll tell you what. He's in us. He is near. And can I say it this way? All of God, all of who God is here, and he's near, and he's in me, and he's with me. And so I can rejoice. I can have a spiritual mindset. I can be temperate and moderate, and I can not let life throw me out of whatever's going on. I can keep my eyes on the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Joyfully rejoice in the Lord. Think about him. Think about his realities as I'm facing discomforting, challenging things here in this earth. Finances, kids, jobs, nation. In the midst of all this stuff, God is still in charge. God is over it all. But yet God is saying, I'm challenging my people to be lights in the midst of darkness. Amen. Am I meddling? I don't know. It's really quiet today. So the Lord is near. And I want to ask again, is the Lord near you? Or do you have to go find him, look him up every time you need something? Well, I got to call Pastor and have him pray for me. I got to call Steve and pray, have him pray for me because God don't answer my prayers. I got to get somebody. You know how I would respond to that? I want to ask you to cuss the worst, filthiest cuss words you can say out loud right now. And you say, oh, no, God would hear me. But he doesn't hear your prayers? Come on. That's a poor image of who you believe God has made you. That's a poor image of you know, and you're still stuck in a sin-conscious mindset instead of a forgiven mindset. And how much God loves you and how much God is eager to help us and work with us and to help cause victory to be our experience in him. And so the Lord is near. He's with us. He's in us. All of God is at our disposal. Maybe that'd be good to meditate. We ought to create a song. All of God is at our disposal. Or that's a cheer, isn't it? Where's Maddie? Give me a G. Give me an O. Give me a D. God is with us. He is for us. All of God is for us. I'm not a cheerleading coach, am I? But you know, it's not like God is a junior angel. You know, he barely can help you. You know, you just don't know if you can trust him. I want you to know all of God is near. The Lord is near. The Lord is at hand. He is near at hand. He's with us. He's in us. All right, let's get on to verse 6. So he says then, he's near, he's with us. All of God is with us. Don't worry. Don't be anxious. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Now, we had this, so if this is you, please know I'm trying not to seize upon a conversation, but this happened recently. But, you know, every once in a while we'll meet someone who will say, now, I just don't want to bother God with my stuff. I mean, you know, there's just stuff. There's always stuff going on. And I want to be respectful. I don't want to honor or bother God. But notice what this says. It says, pray about everything. Don't worry about anything. But pray about everything. Where's Maddie? I ought to get her up here. Don't worry. Don't just be happy. Pray. Don't worry. Pray. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. So how much praying do you do? How much praying do you talking to God? How much do you interface with God? Because the biblical alternative to worry is to pray. Pray about everything. Don't worry about anything. Oh, that's unrealistic. Are you kidding? Come on. You know life's tough. You got to worry about some things. Well, okay. You trump God in his Bible, and so what version are you? No, this is the Bible. We have to rise up to what God is saying. We grow in our faith and in our spiritual religion, our Christian experience, to where we can begin to live these things out by the power of the Spirit and by his help. So don't worry about anything. Okay, so what do I do? Pray about everything. It's like you aren't stuck. I can't worry. It's in there, but I can't let it out. No, let out prayer. Let out prayer. Tell God what you're thinking about. Tell God what you're concerned about. I think he needs a clap for that. Amen. Because I'm afraid what happens when these kind of things are shared is, you know, it's like we try to muzzle the worry. I can't let it out, but it's really there. No, let it out prayer. Let out prayer. Let out prayer. Pray everything. Pray about everything. Ask God. Look in his word. See what he thinks. Ask him to help you. Don't worry about anything. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, go to the next slide. Oh, wait, supplicate, through prayer and supplication. You know, in my dictionary, it didn't give me supplication. It gave me supplicate, which is the root of it. And it means to ask humbly, to make humble entreaty or asking humbly. So when he says through prayer and supplication, he's really saying, I'm supplicating, I'm coming humbly, but confidently, but I'm coming humbly, not in the strength of my flesh, but I'm coming in the name of the Lord, and I'm coming to lift up whatever's bothering me, to lift up whatever is concerning, what the need might be. And so go to the next slide. So with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Now this surprised me. I don't know why it did. But the Greek word for thanksgiving here is eucharista. Do y'all remember this passage about communion in Matthew's gospel and in 1 Corinthians where Jesus took the cup and giving thanks? The word for giving thanks there is eucharista. That is why the Eucharist is what we call communion. In some circles, they call it the Eucharist. It's a time of remembering and giving thanks for all that he's done for us. And so God is saying here that when we pray and supplicate, we talk to God, we give him the concerns, the issues, we give thanksgiving as well, we Eucharista, we give a remembrance of what he has done. And without remembering what he's done, you really lave yourself just to be a pitiful crier. Oh God, help me God, oh God. But when you remember what he's done, hey, shape up now. Get out of this. Get yourself together. Remember what he's done? Yes. God helped me the last time. God brought me through. There was high waters, but God brought me through. God is an enabler. He will help you. All of God is in you, with you, and all of God is at your disposal. Now, I'm going to offer something here that I think I never have run this by the elders, but I don't know if it's going to be of significance. I thought about when you've got stuff bothering you and you need something to really help you turn your heart attitude, why don't you go to your cabinet and get you a cracker and go to your cabinet and get you some grape juice, and why don't you bless these elements and have a communion with God and start remembering all the good things he's done for you. Now, some people in church circles say, oh, you can't do that if the elders don't bless it. Well, I don't know that I hold to that. I think there's a place for church authority and all that. But I'll just tell you what. I'll tell you, if you took some crackers and some juice Now you probably think this is sacrilegious. I knew some guys who were in a place where there was no crackers and no juice. And I don't remember what they ate. I think they had a cookie and they had some soda pop. And they did communion with a cookie and soda pop. How could you do that? That is sacrilegious. What if you don't have those elements? I'll tell you what, their heart wasn't to bend it and to be some kind of curious cuties. Their heart was, we just take what we got, we blessed it. But I'll tell you what, I think if you wanted to have a Eucharist, if you wanted to give thanksgiving, you know, you could make an encounter like in the old days they would set up a place of memory. They'd set up, what kind of a stone? Help me, Mark or Steve. A memorial stone. This communion is a memorial stone of all that Jesus has done for you. And when you come to it and you bless it and you know, it's like, man, I just thought, I know some leaders who have gone through seasons where they've taken communion every day for a season. I know some people who've used communion as a vehicle of their faith to believe God for healing. They took communion, believing God, remembering what He did for them. I don't know. I just tell you what I think. I think if you're serious about turning your heart from being a complaining, mumbling, worrying, fearful thing, you know, if you need to take some drastic steps, maybe you ought to just get with the Lord every day for a season of time and have a communion service and thank Him for all the good things He's done for you. Amen. Thank you. You're preaching real good. Thank you, Jesus. You're helping me. All right. With thanksgiving, I think that ought to help you rejoice. Thanksgiving, rejoicing. By the way, we're coming up on Thanksgiving, aren't we? Fancy, that's in this message. I just want to be practical today and not, you know, kind of high-minded. I just think we need to take advantage of everything God has given us. When we're tempted to worry, we need to remember all that God has done for us. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And then look at verse 7, the final verse today. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. The peace of God, which passes understanding, the intellect, the mind, because the mind is a processor. The mind, you know, has to have validation. The mind has to have proof. The natural mind does not process spiritual things. You have to have a spiritual mind, a new mind, a heart, really, a mind that's connected to your reborn spirit to understand spiritual things. But the peace of God passes. In other words, you don't know why you should have peace. You don't know how in the world peace could be yours in the midst of the storm. But here you are, like Jesus, asleep in the front of the boat in the storm. But He's got peace like a river. He's got peace like an ocean. I've got peace. Do you? I've got peace like a river. I've got peace like an ocean. You know, peace is such a powerful thing to have. And when you don't live in peace in your house and in your heart and in your church and really in your nation, man, there is trouble, there is strife, there is tumult. But I want you to know God can give you, can give your house, can give our church a peace that passes comprehension. We don't understand why sometimes peace can be ours, but I can give to God my problem. I can give to God what's the matter, and He gives to me. I know there's a missionary of years gone by. Carey was his last name. Anyway, he's one of the early known missionaries of the, you know, I think it was early 1900s. But he had this little saying. It's called the divine transfer. I give God my problems. He gives me His peace. I give God my worries. He gives me his peace. It's a divine transaction. It's a divine transfer. I give him the trouble. He gives me his peace. He's able to carry the trouble. He's able to watch over me. And then notice this peace that God gives. And by the way, I think sometimes this has to be said. You have to receive peace. You have to choose it. God, I give you my problem, and you can chew and worry and carry on. But then, Lord, I really, in my heart, really, I give this to you, and now I receive your peace. I take it. I receive it down into my heart, into my very heart of hearts. I receive your peace. The kind of peace that I don't understand why, because the problem, in a way, didn't go away, but in the midst of it, while you're working, I can still have this peace that transcends the natural because it's out of the Spirit. It comes from the Spirit of God. And this kind of peace will guard your heart. Now, I looked up that word guard, and it means to be a watcher in advance. It means to mount a guard as a sentinel to protect or keep with a garrison. In other words, like a fortress, God's peace will guard and keep your heart. And it's like, you know, I had this picture of the old forts where they'd put these forts up in hostile country, and they'd put these watchmen on each corner to keep lookout so that there could be nothing that would slip in. And God says, if you'll keep peace as a thing that will bypass your intellect and your understanding, it will be the watchman on the wall that will keep anything that wants to get in to take that peace. It'll keep it away. Because when you see it, you'll just say, Lord, I thank you. You're in charge. Lord, I thank you. Nothing can take over that you're not involved in. Lord, I thank you right now. You're my peace. I receive it. I bless you. I love you. You know, it's like, do you want to have that kind of a Christian experience? It might be weird to have that kind of a Christian life. Well, I just think, again, I'm closing. If I think we're going to come to some days where we're going to have to become all in, or we're going to get watered down. Do you hear what I'm saying? Going to have to make some choices. I'm going to get all in this, or you're going to get watered down and it won't work for you. Someone said years ago, what I compromise to keep doesn't work for me. Interesting. And notice, he'll keep your minds in Christ Jesus, your heart and minds in Christ Jesus. Rejoice in the Lord. Joyfully rejoice. Keep steady. The Lord is near. He's at hand. He's near at hand. He's in us. He's with us. So don't worry. Pray about everything. And have Eucharist. Have Thanksgiving. If you need to have communion with the Lord to break through in this, go for it. And the peace of God's going to just take over in your heart. And you can stand. Well, peace is a wonderful thing. And soon coming is the Christmas story where Jesus is called the Prince of Peace. Amen. He comes to live in our hearts, in our hearts, in our hearts, in our very innermost being. And he's with me. Thank you, Lord. Let's bow our heads. Lord, thank you for helping me this morning. Thank you for your word, your heart. My desire is that your heart is shared, and not just platitudes and words and sermons. And Father, you would touch our hearts. I pray the Holy Spirit's help now would touch our hearts as these words have been shared from God's word, that you would work in us, Lord God, Holy Spirit of God, work in us. Help us to be steady. Help us to be consistent. Help us to grow past being up and down and so in turmoil. Help us to have peace. Help us to find that strength in the Lord that I can rejoice. Help me to focus on spiritual realities and not take you for granted or just treat you as an add-on to my life, a Sunday tip, a Sunday add-on. No, Lord, you're the center of our hearts. That's what you want. That's where you said you came. You came to live in the very innermost part of us. You came to be the very center of our lives, Lord of all, Lord of our hearts. Help us, Lord, to grow in these troubled times, that we will really solidify convictions in the Word of God and not just have convenient truths, convenient memory of what's written down somewhere, but that our hearts will find strength and substance and stability in you and in your Word. Lord, we're going to experience a wonderful season of Thanksgiving this Thursday and through these days, and next Sunday evening at 5:30, we're going to have our own Thanksgiving evening where, you know, we'll share a meal and hear from people what God has done in this last year. I just pray, Lord, this will be a memorial stone in the year. I don't know that we'll need to take communion that night, but Lord, it's a Eucharist. It's a time to remember what you've done for me. And I pray that Thanksgiving will just be lifted high to honor you and glorify you because of all that you're doing and have done and will do in our lives and in our church and in our families. We worship before you. Worship team, would you come back? I just think it would be very appropriate if we took a moment to worship God. And Steve, you pick the song that you think's appropriate. Jamie, pick the song you think's appropriate. I just think it would be very appropriate to just take a moment and worship God and to bless Him and focus our hearts on Him. Amen.